Who's your favorite Pokemon?
This is easy. Everyone's favorite is Bulbasaur. Nobody likes any other Pokemon more.
Okay, that's wrong. I mean, it's fine for you if that's your favorite Pokemon, but...
Yeah. I mean, it used to be Mega Rayquaza just because of his raw stats.
Yeah.
It's a good name, too. It's really big.
Yeah, right? Like, Rayquaza was already like, ooh, that's good. But then Mega Rayquaza?
Oh, man. Sounds like somebody who got kicked out of Wu-Tang for being too raw.
For making the other ones seem so weak. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Mega Rayquaza for me, thanks.
Mine is probably Farfetch'd. It changes, but today it's Farfetch'd.
His evolution is so choice.
No, I do not approve of the evolution. I think it's only about base level Farfetch'd.
You're saying, let's just get it out there, you don't believe in evolution.
Correct.
Can you just say that?
I do not believe in Pokemon evolution.
No, what? No, come on.
Come on, be real now.
Why? We're going to cut this into a political ad for me?
It's not so much a political. It's not a bad idea. Politics comes into it. You just think that Flintstones was real and the people have fun with dinosaurs.
Look,
and
that's the only way to move a car, in my opinion, is with your feet. If you move it anywhere else, it's bullshit.
Well, that's how it works now. You step on the gas pedal and then there are little people feet underneath your car.
That's true. Farfetch'd is great because he carries around a leek, as everyone probably knows. He's got this leek in his hand and he sort of marches around with it. The reason he carries around the leek is because when he's killed and eaten, he's made into a soup that uses the leek. But honestly, that is an alpha move to be like, nah, dog, I'm going to fucking own this and I'm going to take your soup leek that you're going to eat me with and beat you over the head with it. Baller.
That's dope. That would be like if I carried around a big bottle of Peri Peri sauce everywhere I went. Just like, hey, whoever does finally get me, and you know who you are, I'm going to be a little gamey. I'm going to be a little dry. And I want you to really enjoy. If I'm going to get eaten, savor the experience.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Have a nice meal with it. And this soundbite is not going to help me sort of dissociate myself from a certain brand that I have been attempting to move away from. And so I will step away from the podcast for a few months. Bye, everybody.
And I like babes and sports.
And my name's Griffin McRoy, and I know the best game of the week.
My name is Christopher Thomas Plant, and I changed my answer. Cubone is the best Pokemon.
My name is Russ Frosch, and I know the best game of the week.
What I said there was meant to be a button on the cold open and not the beginning of the show proper. How I introduce myself is not, I'm a man and I love babes and sports.
I mean, that's how you first introduced yourself to me. So,
But I am still riding high off that amazing Bengals win. I've spoken at length about my passion for sport and my passion for the Bengals.
Oh no!
Who are your two favorite players, Justin?
What?
Who are your two favorite players?
My two favorite players.
Yeah,
on the love Bengals. That kicker.
Yeah, that's Bengals. Good. Yeah, that's a good one.
Lot of attitude coming from kicker Evan McPherson.
Mm. I heard the sound.
Money Mac, I call him. I call him Money Mac.
Yeah. I heard the keys EVA. Actually, I heard the keys KICK. Please, please, please. Bengals, please kick name now, please, for impressing my boys.
I mean, Adam Vinatieri will always hold a place in my heart.
Oh, sure.
He's my favorite fantasy kicker. I'm just saying, people always made fun of me for drafting a kicker early in my fantasy football league. But come on.
For six rounds, the kickers.
Him and his friend Joe Burrow.
That's true.
Anyway, good luck to the Bengals. So excited for that huge win. What a thrilling game that was. But this is, in fact, the Besties, where we talk about the latest and greatest at home interactive entertainment. And in what is sure to be the most whiplash-inducing transition in podcasting history, we will now go from a half-hearted discussion of sports to a full-throated, passion discussion of Pokemon Legends.
Go for it. You can get it.
Arceus?
No.
Arceus?
It's Arceus? Arceus.
Arceus. Arceus. Okay. Yeah. It's hard to tell because of the complete lack of voice acting. sorry. Had something in my throat. Chris, what is Pokemon Legends Arceus? Arceus.
That also works.
Scaramouche.
Pokemon Legends Arceus is, what if we made a Pokemon game that just evolved a little bit from decades of Pokemon games that evolved barely at all? It is a open world, kind of riffing on Zelda, Breath of the Wild, Pokemon game where you go around and focus mostly on research. And we're going to talk about it more right after this break.
Okay, I'm just going to get it out there.
Okay.
Because I was like, at the end of the last episode, I was like, oh, God, because the name really does
it's
sound
not
dreadful.
It's not a very good name.
Just call it Pokemon Legends. I was looking for like the other Pokemon Legends games that would require them to put in this bunker's name. Anyway.
They're launching a franchise.
Yeah, just call it Pokemon Legends.
And then the next one will mention a specific Pokemon.
Right.
Yes. They didn't call the first one Star Wars Retribution. You know what I mean?
It had a subtitle. It was called Star Wars
A
New Hope.
Subtitle. More importantly, though, they didn't call it Star Wars : Greedo or Star Wars Stories :
Space. Also, space, I don't want to geek check the gate check, but they called it Star Wars. A New Hope was like the name people started using later on. But
yeah,
like,
they added it at that time. That is true.
Yeah.
George Lucas didn't have any of this shit planned.
Let me just get it out there.
This
is pretty fun.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. The concept of this one is, what if we made it kind of like, I'm going to try really hard to not be dismissive because I know a lot of people love Pokemon. And I certainly had my time as a young man. It's just it feels like making it all more kinetic and rewarding.
Yeah.
Like when you're walking around this open world, you see the Pokemon. It's not like a random encounter. And rather than have to like get into a sort of like dull mechanical fight with the Pokemon every single time in a way that starts to feel rote really quickly, you have the opportunity to just murk a Pokemon. Fucking snipe him from the tall grass. And you know what? It feels great.
Yeah.
This Pokemon doesn't even know I'm here. I'm going to bonk him on the back of the head with a Pokeball. End of encounter.
Right.
It's great.
This game has taught me, I don't think I even wrap my head around how much of a drag. I realize some people really, really like it. I'm sure Griffin is one of them.
Then you haven't been listening to me, Russ.
Valid. But it didn't make me realize how much of a drag the Pokemon battle system is. It's here a little bit. It's secondary. But having it totally de-emphasized is like such a major enthusiasm improvement for me in Pokemon games that I don't know that I can go back.
It really is like, it's fun. Like, it's fun. And it actually has the effect of making the battles when you decide to battle.
Right.
Because the way this research system works, and that's the other big plus, you're constantly sort of progressing in a way that like, has always sort of perplexed me once I had a full team of Pokemon. I don't know Pokemon. I don't know types that well. I tried to have like a diversified team. But once I got to that point, I wasn't exactly sure what I should be like working towards. And this game has these research goals for narrative reasons that we'll talk about in a second. But like, you have these research goals.
Sorry, bad narrative reasons. The game is fun, but the narrative reasons are no bueno.
Narrative reasons that makes each encounter like you need to capture a certain number of these Pokemon to fill up your like research chart. You need to fight a certain number of these Pokemon. You need to see them use different moves, whatever.
Like Pokemon
Snap. So it
like
really focuses it.
It feels to me like a what if you put together Pokemon Snap, Pokemon Go, and normal vanilla Pokemon, and you stirred it up.
Now, Griffin, you talked about bad narrative reasons. Speak on that.
Well, I also wanted to point out one more comparison that I think works is Pokemon Let's Go, the Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu, Pokemon Let's Go Eevee, which were a remake of Pokemon Red and Blue, but using sort of the Pokemon Go mechanics of just like throwing a ball at a dude and having that be the way you caught Pokemon. And then Pokemon battles were still proper battles. And I think that this kind of takes a lot from that as well, because of how you are offered a choice between you know, being stealthy and sneaking up and using your items correctly and wisely, and just taking out a Pokemon in one Pokeball versus, you know, you get caught and you're like, ah, fuck it. Here's my level, you know, 90 Rapidash that's just going to tear this shit apart anyway.
Well, not only just one Pokemon, like, you can catch, like, fucking four in a row if you're, quick.
You can throw a Pokeball, and before that Pokeball has, like, locked, whether it's a success or failure, you can have three or four other Pokemon.
All your Pokemon get experience when you catch another Pokemon that way.
Yes, so that
fantastic.
It's fantastic. That has been in since I want to say like X and Y. Getting experience for catching Pokemon. That is, in my opinion, mechanically speaking, like the best thing that they have done, because then it's not just, you're not just farming, you know, battles and shit, which is slow and boring. You can just catch a shit ton of Pokemon and level up your guys that way anyway. The narrative is delivered via, even at like max text speed, what I would like generously call like interminable cutscenes that are unskippable. And the first two or three hours of the game are just an absolute slog.
Yeah.
That's the other, it's like, it's really, any time that you are taken out of the action, it is brutal.
But it's a you're transported into the past of Pokemon in what I believe is the Sinnoh region, which is where Diamond and Pearl took place, and sent back to sort of feudal Japan inspired times. And what's fascinating about the like setting and the story and everything that I don't necessarily think they capitalize on, just because they just didn't, is it's like people are fucking terrified of Pokemon.
Yeah.
People are like, look, that monster has fire on him.
It's fucking so great.
It's really smart. It's really good.
Especially if you're trying to bring in new people. These people feel about Pokemon the way that I feel about Pokemon. I relate to these people.
Yeah.
They're like, why does that duck have mind powers? Like, I don't fucking know. You're right. It's terrible. How about I bonk him for you? And they're like, right. Get him.
Also,
get him, Hoss.
Very relatable, because when you play any other Pokemon game and all the Pokemon are like the same, you know, few pixels high or whatever. Different experience when you crest a cliff's edge and you come across, what's the giant horse that's on fire?
Rapidash.
The evolution of Ponyta.
Rapidash.
Rapidash.
Yeah, I saw Rapidash for the first time, and I was legit like, I'm going to get killed if I approach this thing. And that's a cool feeling to play a Pokemon game and be like, oh yeah, these things are scary.
Yeah.
Yeah, they tried to do it with Sword and Shield. They had those like open adventure areas where you'd see the Pokemon.
Yeah, yeah.
But you'd still, like, once you got close to them, it just like engaged in a normal Pokemon battle. But having them like physically there and like someone you could actually interact with
and attack you.
makes a huge difference.
But there is a lot to talk about in this game, and I want to make sure that we like have time to talk about it all. The reason I said that the narrative stuff is bad is just like it has that concept that is so cool, and it like kind of betrays it constantly in like an effort to tell a story about these rival clans that feel different ways about the gods of the world, and this little kid is like this big Pokemon's babysitter. And you're going to talk to him for a long time about how he's the best sacred Pokemon. And then you're going to go and make a special ball that you throw at that boss Pokemon 100 times. And you beat it in a boss fight. And none of that has anything to do with the cool thing about this story, which is like, it's the past. And these people, there are no like gym badges to collect. Because like a lot of people don't know what to do with these things.
It's wild. There's lots of problems with Pokemon for me, but it is so off-putting to get into a game, and it is like this whole world of Pokemon that they expect that you already know everything about. And also, it's like the same sort of like rigid structure that's been set up for developing that. And like, this game could be just like people out there on the frontier, like trying to get by and figure out what's going on with Pokemon. And they immediately just start loading it down with bullshit again.
Right.
Like, they just immediately start loading it down with cruft that nobody cares about. Like, and it's exhausting.
But I'm not, like, the biggest Pokemon story fan here. But I'll defend it in that, one, with the not knowing Pokemon, I actually like the way the game responds to that. Because it's Isekai? Is that the type of anime?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, where it's like you fell through a portal and you don't know why you're here. And throughout, like regularly, people are like, hey, do you know this? And there were times where I was like, yeah, definitely. Obviously, I've been playing Pokemon since I was a kid. And then they like name a Pokemon that's not in Red and Blue. And I'm like, oh, no, I don't know what the hell you're talking about. So I liked that. I also didn't mind the story too much once I got past the first 2 hours. I agree, it could be way better. They could do much cooler things with this premise. But, like, in the grand history of Pokemon storytelling, I don't find it, like, any worse than, like, any other Pokemon game.
No, of course this not.
This is where it really this is where I get irritated about it, right? Like, these things that we're talking about that are good, right? The setting is actually a good idea. Mm. It's like cool to erase the structure to start fresh. That's cool. The gameplay is so much more fun to me personally than a traditional Pokemon game. But it's like you can't shake the feeling, or at least I couldn't, that they got to that point and they just sort of like, well, that's enough. Like we've done enough iteration to justify this thing's existence. And Pokemon games, as an outsider, it feels like Pokemon games are allowed to skate by with a lot less sort of like investment in the production
values. Oh yeah, I was gonna say.
Yeah. But what
then, like other game, like even what you're saying, Plant, like where it's like, well, it's no worse than like other Pokemon. Like why if you're like, it just feels like they did some stuff and it was like all headed in a good direction, but then it's just like not taking that last step towards like,
yeah,
we should make this comparable to other games that are currently in production. Getting around, I will say, like along these same lines, and the specter of Breath of the Wild was summed up, so I think it's a fair comparison. Getting around this open world sucks.
Yeah.
Like it sucks. It's so like you see a cliff that is literally not even a cliff. A vague mound, like a mound of dirt that you cannot like clamber up. My 3-year-old could get up, but you can't. It wants you to go down over there to the bridge that they made. You can't just like walk around the open world and do what you want to do. It's so boring.
Yeah. I mean, that's the frustrating thing about this. I think is the core is extremely, extremely good. Like the minute to minute, great. It seems like for all Pokemon games, and this is only one of the examples, there has been this weird lag where Nintendo has like pushed the boundaries in other ways, but specifically for Pokemon games and Pokemon Company games, the engines have always been like kind of behind. This open world engine feels like not far off from like what a Vita could pull off. Like, quite honestly, that's where they are. So you put that side by side by against Breath of the Wild, and it's a little bit embarrassing and unfortunate. And it makes me want them to just hire a company that has ever made an open world and just have them make it and then keep all the Pokemon stuff. That's fine. But y'all, you don't know, this engine cannot pull this off.
But also remember, this isn't, I mean, Nintendo publishes it.
No, you're right.
Game Freak is not a Nintendo studio.
That is true.
So it is a Game little Freak, different.
I mean, it is, but I also think that like Pokemon and Nintendo, I think Nintendo and Pokemon Company hold these things at such high esteem and they treat them like so loftily, but they do not get the sort of love that such a loftily high end product get. Like they just don't feel like AAA titles in that way, which is weird.
With regards to getting around the open world, I will say, just a pro tip, pretty early on in the game, you get a mount that's on some pretty dope, like, Princess Mononoke shit, and you should just hurry to that point.
No, okay, help me with this.
It gets better.
Because it says, okay, if it's the first sort of, like, divine Pokemon that you meet, right?
Yeah.
He's like, it looks like he'll let you ride him, and then I never. And then, is that?
Yeah. It's right.
Am
after
I missing
that.
Something?
It's right after that.
It ain't right after that.
Okay, well, it depends on, I guess, how much doodling around you do out in the open world, but it's fairly soon after.
Justin's
that.
A doodler.
It is so. I've been playing this franchise forever, and have played most of them. Have finished most of them, and it's hard for me to even know like. What what it takes to make a good Pokemon game, just because they release two or three of them a year at this point, and they do iterate so slowly. And so it's like, well, if you took the, you know, if you took some of the cool ideas here in Pokemon Legends Arceus and you blended it with like the huge Pokedex of Sun and Moon, and you took this and you took that and you took this and you took the story of Black 2 and White 2, which were dope, by the way. The story of those games, if you didn't play it, was, hey, maybe it's not good that we capture and make Pokemon fight each other. that was dope. It's just that I couldn't help but feel like if this game had had another year of like dedicated development to it, a lot of these ideas, like the core mechanics of playing the game and this story premise and the performance and the graphical fidelity, which I would say leaves something to be desired, could have been improved. And I think this would have been a really fucking great game, as opposed to a really a fun game in short spurts that is just kind of on principle, like, neat that they have changed up this ancient formula this much.
Here's my counterpoint to this idea of another year. Game Freak, the developer of this game, they released a game in 2016, two in 2017, two in 2018, three in 2019, and then they took 3 years off for like the first time ever and made this. So like, in terms of taking time and focusing on one project, this is like the most.
I guess
ever.
That's fair. The Diamond and Pearl that came out, what, 3 months ago was a different team?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, okay. I agree with all this.
Regardless, it's not, it more time would have made this, maybe more time would have made this game better, but at the end of the day, like, it ain't. It is obvious some of the places where they could have improved it.
If you took Pokemon, not to put a finer point on it, but if you took Pokemon out of this and it was the exact same gameplay, but without Pokemon, It would
be shitty.
No.
It would not be shitty. If you did this exact same game, the exact same thing, and you took Pokemon out of it, it would be Justin and Mai's game of the year.
Oh, come on.
No, I'm not. I'm only barely joking here. The game itself, the whole research thing, is such a sad, a puppy with a broken leg of like, hey, this is a really interesting idea. This feels really fun. There's like a lot of rough edges, and I guarantee it would have been in the game that Justin and I would be like defending probably a little more than it deserves.
let's talk about the research, because that's one of the biggest sort of departures. And there's no gym badges, right? And so the way that you progress through the game is by earning stars, which are just earned by doing Pokemon research. And what that means is like each Pokemon has a Pokedex entry. The Pokedex is a fucking book, because it's feudal Japan. And instead of that entry being filled out the moment that you catch a Pokemon, there are like objectives. So it's like catch this many Pokemon of this type without being seen, or battle this Pokemon so many times, or see this Pokemon use this move. And you can achieve that one by catching the Pokemon and making it use that move yourself. Or, you know, catch a big version of this Pokemon. And by accomplishing those objectives, which have like different tiers of completeness, you earn these good boy stars, these good boy stickers that let you move on to new areas and unlock new crafting recipes. There's crafting in the game that is about as bare bones as it could be and still be called crafting in a video game. And so
it's really rough. You get a crafting kit So it's like, now you can make potions and Pokeballs whenever you want to. Like, oh, nice, cool. It is literally like 9 button presses deep in the menu. It's like, it's so wild. Like, it's like you have to really dig through. I feel like the menus and UI are like really quite bad in this game. I was constantly pushing the wrong, like, button to open up the thing that I wanted to look at, and it's all in like really weirdly unintuitive places. I thought that stuff was all really
well. The weird thing is the crafting looks like just any other item in your menu, and then it opens the crafting menu, which like versus we've all been playing Dying Light 2, and that game has a like just a page that you go to, you pick the thing you want, and it makes it.
Yeah,
but I don't know. I think that's also just difference in tendency of game design. The flip side of that is I think the Dying Light thing is almost like a little on the nose. But
here's what I'm going to say. If they never make another normal Pokemon game, fine by me. Just iterate on this. I'm totally fine with that.
Fans would be so mad, though.
I know they'd be furious, but sorry.
That's what it kind of feels like. I don't know if it's like, I do feel like the voice acting thing is like, I know that it's not traditional in Pokemon, and maybe it does play into this, but and again, I don't make video games. I don't know how to make a video game. This is completely just like my impression as somebody playing it, but and somebody aware of this history. It feels like, you know, Lawrence Fishburne says to Max in Searching for Bobby Fischer, you're playing not to lose, Max. Mm-hmm. You have to risk losing. You have to risk everything.
Remember that
scene?
Of course. Where's the queen? Of course.
That is what it feels like to me, is like they want to evolve it, but they know that like any variance from what people expect will come under such intense scrutiny that it's probably easier just to like be a little bit more iterative.
Yeah. Well, I just hope they don't listen to Pokemon fans on this one. I hope that the main series exists for all the neuroses of like hardcore Pokemon fans. And I mean like that seriously. I hope they have joy. But this game, my biggest fear with this game would be that it, like, the esports Pokemon crowd is like, you know what? This just needs better combat. Not the point of this game at all. You could add it. I'm not saying don't clean it up. I'm just saying, like, I don't need all this, you know, we got to balance it this way and that way because, you know, the 500 people who play it competitively need the game redesigned for them.
I played Sword and Shield at a fairly high level, and I did. That is some of the most into Pokemon I've ever been, so I do think that there is a place for that in here. As much as I enjoyed like going around the world and catching Pokemon and occasionally
you
could
keep it in the other Pokemon games.
Well, okay. It felt inconsequential. Like when I would catch a Pokemon, it's like a short burst, satisfying like thing. Like, oh, okay, well, that's cool. But it didn't feel like, oh shit, like I have this anchor for my team now. Like, I can't believe I caught this Pokemon that has like a pretty rare like chance to appear in the first place. Because when that happens in like a core Pokemon game, you're like, fuck yeah, like I just got over a hump because of this new Pokemon that I have on my team. And I think you can have both of those. I don't think you have to separate them into their own things, right? Like if Pokemon Sword and Shield, if those open areas had literally just been like this game, then that would be fucking great. That would be an incredible like fusion.
All I want to do,
Go ahead.
All I want to do is carve up a Snorlax belly and wear it like a hat.
Okay, I shouldn't have paused for that.
No.
the distinction to me, it feels like this isn't a perfect metaphor for many reasons, but it feels like the distinction between Madden and Blitz, right? Where Madden people want that like iterative, what's the small changes because they're very impactful if you're playing at a high level. And Blitz is sort of like, I don't know, it's just a little bit more fun and accessible. It's sort of like that, except if Blitz began with a glowing light without voiceover that was like, I am the god of football. Let me walk you in.
Oh my god,
this.
I want to play that game so bad.
I'm the god of football. Take this cell phone that I'm going to text you on. Constant.
I will hit you on your mobile.
I will hit you on your Mobi. You're going to be sick of my god ass. Like, hey, bro, did you try using an Oran berry? Yeah, God. Thank you. Thanks, God. Hey, dude, your guys are paralyzed. You should use a Chesto berry. Thanks, God. I appreciate that. No problem. Hey, you up? You up? Your guy's confused. He might hit himself. Thank you, God. I appreciate the help as always. Thank you for your son.
In other stuff that is just like we're just, you have these like battles that are forced sometimes and it's like, you know, if you want to do this thing, you got to get past me and my Pokemon. And it's like, okay. And so far I'm like, I don't know, quite a few of these I've encountered. And every time the person has one Pokemon. And I have six. And it's like, I don't know what their plan is. Like, you'll never bring down my squad. It's like, I have six Pokemon. What are you talking about? This isn't even in the neighborhood of a... And then if you do it, it's like, why did we do that? Like, why did we have to do that?
It is a great point that, again, kind of like... takes away from the conceit of what they are going for in this game, where it's like, we're afraid of these Pokemon. Nobody knows what the fuck they're doing. We have this whole team trying to figure out like what Pokemon are and how we contain them. This is a Pokeball. Apparently these motherfuckers can shrink and you can put them in the Pokeball and they level up. What? This is crazy. And then like 10 minutes later, it's like, battle me. It's like, what? What? It'd be like if a new type of animal appeared, if a new, you know, kingdom of beings appeared on this planet, and we were like, holy shit, what's going on? And then we're like, we learned to communicate with them. And then somebody was like, I can talk to them, and we work together as a team to accomplish things. And I'm like a superhero. And then they walk down the street, and somebody was like, battle me! And you're like, what are you talking about? We just found these guys.
Hey, all of this is interesting in the goods and the bads, but here's the fact about this game. You can stand on the top of a mountain and see a Geodude in the valley, and then you can just snipe it with a Pokeball and collect it.
Well,
it rules.
Can't go too far. It disappears after. I understand what you're saying, but
it goes pretty far.
It goes pretty far.
Don't get it twisted, though. There's much of this that is not fun. Like, you're going to have to push for a while. If you're, I don't even know who I'm recommending.
I don't either. Yeah.
It's like, I was glad that I played it. It's neat. But it, anyway.
One more thing. The music in this game, y'all, is good. Is very, 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 very good.
Okay. There's just not very much of it, I felt like. Especially when you're out in the open world, it feels like, I don't know.
They didn't want to cover up all the voice acting.
There's a huge part of this game that we haven't talked about yet. And I don't know if you're trying to move on.
I am trying to move on, but please go ahead.
I think that there's a big change to the battle system that is worth addressing, and that is that the game is not broken down into even turns. Like, it's not like every other Pokemon game where each turn, each Pokemon gets to go, and the one with the faster speed gets to go the most. So in this game, if your Pokemon is, like, much faster than the other one, you could attack multiple times in a row, and vice versa. And to intensify that new thing is you can, once you have mastered a move, which is a whole other thing, moves are, the way you learn and change moves and all that is different in this game. You can do a strong version of that move that is slower but hits a bit harder, or an agile version of that move that is weaker but you can get in faster. And if you use those, if you use agile style moves, you might end up hitting them a few times in a row. Which is, it's on paper sounds like, who cares? Like, that's not that big a deal. But for Pokemon, that is a huge deal, because while they have added things like, you know, 2-on-2 fights or, you know, mega evolutions or whatever, like, this is pretty foundational stuff that they are, like, disrupting with this. And I really, really, really did enjoy that. And it is why I wish that there was a little bit more of a hardcore sort of battling thing in this game. I have not reached the end game, which I hear has a bit more of that kind of stuff. But yeah, that was a huge thing that I would encourage. Like, that's what Pokemon needs, is not stuff on top of the stuff that's already there. It needs to scrap some shit and completely change the bones of it. Anyway.
Well, let's take a break, and then we'll come back and talk about some other games. Yeah. Why not? Everyone has thoughts about Pokemon, and we'd love to hear yours. We asked you for your thoughts and questions, and let's do it. Plant, what's up? What's going on? What
are you curious about? Up first, and I'm sure we've answered this question at some point in the decade, but we should answer it again for new listeners from Darren. I've never played a Pokemon game other than Pokemon Go. Which game do you guys think would be the most fun way to start?
It's tough. It's really tough. Yeah.
I mean, it's either probably Let's Go Eevee, right? Or this one?
I mean, that
one?
Is the simplest. I would say, Sword and Shield might not be a bad place to start, just because it is one of the newer games. It looks pretty good. It has some cool shit in it. If you're kicking around with the Nintendo DS still, if you can find a used copy of Heart Gold and Soul Silver, which should be pretty easy. Just kidding, that's like $80 or something now. That's like my favorite one. Sorry, I forgot what the question was. You were asking me what my favorite Pokemon
game
was.
This is a good place to start. This is accessible. It's not bogged down by a lot of history and stuff.
Yeah.
It's good.
This game, for me, felt like what I remember it felt like playing the original Pokemon when I was a kid. Like, Arceus feels like Pokemon in my nostalgia brain. And that seems like a good place to start. Next up, from Mo, what is your least favorite Pokemon? I don't mean mild annoyance like finding a Bidoof, but pure rage.
I love Bidoof for what it's worth. Like, really love Bidoof.
Bidoof is dope.
Yeah.
Bidoof is, like, pretty strong for where you find Bidoof. Like,
I like that Griffin goes immediately to, like, whether they're meta or not, but I just like...
Well, no, it's like Rattata, right? And people are like, oh, God, another fucking Rattata. But, like, you put in a little love, a little TLC on that Rattata, turn him into Eradicate with Hyper Fang? Fuck. You're going to trash anything, like, not typed against it. You know what I mean?
So what's your least favorite Pokemon?
I mean, they're all... like loved in God's eyes. I don't understand the question. I don't understand how you don't like a Pokemon.
There are some legendaries that I really dislike. I don't know what generation they're from, but I remember trying to catch them in Pokemon Go. One of them looked like kind of like a horse thing, and there was like four of them. And then there was like a big genie guy and like a cloud. The legendaries I think kind of go off the rails after.
I tend to like Pokemon less as they evolve.
Yeah. I think that's true.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, I like the cuties.
Interesting. I think the worst is Jinx.
Okay. I think I don't like Goomy just because of his name. Oh,
glad I got to add so much context to my opinion.
Goomy is, I feel like, why don't you like Jinx, Justin?
I've actually just realized by saying that I might extend the amount of time I've talked about Pokemon. I just think Jinx is racist. And I don't.
Okay.
Okay, so the next one is from Artnod.
Rugiada.
Do you think Pokemon...
What did Justin just say?
Rugiada. That's what Jinx is called in Japanese. Rugiada.
Okay.
Good context.
Do you think Pokemon...
I'm glad we stopped for that extra context. It really...
I wanted to look at pictures of Jinx to make myself angry, and that's... I just...
Make yourself horny, you mean?
Nope. It's in blackface. Don't like it. It's a bad Pokemon. It's got hands. Hate it. Any Pokemon with hands, the worst.
Do you think Pokemon should do similar to Final Fantasy and Dragon Quest and go a little away from regular turn-based gameplay? I thought that that's what this game would be initially. I thought I was going to get some action game in here.
Right, because you can move around during battles.
Even that is a very big... That's like... You can walk around the fight while it's happening, and that shouldn't be... It feels kind of like being able to do something while the screensaver is on. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Being able to click something, it's like, oh, I know I'm not doing anything, but, like, at least something's happening while I'm doing this fight. It helps.
I feel like you can never fully get away from this, because animating hundreds of individual characters plus all their moves is just, like, it's a big ask.
I mean, but not really. They've done Pokemon action games.
Actual video games do it all the time.
And they just pick like a generic flash for like every cut or physical attack. So, I mean, they've animated all this stuff, so it wouldn't be that hard.
Russ says.
Yeah, I make video games all the time.
Says Russ.
Yeah,
I've made like
I'm
six
skeptical.
Pokemon games while this podcast has been going on, so it's fine.
Okay.
I don't think they need to do anything huge like that. I just think they need to make an online Pokemon, like some sort of games as service Pokemon game. It's insane that doesn't, aside from Pokemon Go, which does not scratch the mechanical itch that I want. Like, people have been asking for that for so long, and it's fucking bonkers that they haven't tried to make it yet.
This one's from Drew. Why hasn't there been a Pokemon kart racer, and would it be a dud or a whip ass? It would definitely be a dud.
That's
Pokemon spinoff games, the hit rate is not so high.
This is a Pokemon spinoff game, and also Pokemon Snap is a Pokemon spinoff game. They both are, absolutely.
This is not a Pokemon spinoff game. You don't spend 3 years making a new version of Pokemon with the main studio. That's not a spinoff game.
It's only a spinoff
Mystery
game if
Dungeon.
It's not.
You know what I mean. Like, yeah, sure. Yeah, if Game Freak said, you know what, we're going to take 3 years off and we're just going to make a Pokemon kart racer, then sure, maybe different story. But my feeling is that they would be like, we're going to find some, like, former mobile studio and have them, you know, make this.
I agree that would probably be very bad. But, you know, every once in a while, there's a Diddy Kong Racing that's pretty good.
That's true. Or, hey, that Sonic Sega All-Stars racing game is, like, the best kart racing game ever. So,
yeah.
It's possible. Chocobo Racing.
Thank you.
Yeah, they shouldn't make that game. They should make another Pokemon Puzzle League. Or Pokemon Trading Card Game. Not like a games as... That one I don't want as games as service. That one I just want to be like the Game Boy Color Pokemon TCG game, which beats ass.
The next question is from Joey Salami. And I'm just kind of curious with the name Joey Salami on Twitter... If he asks versions of this question for every topic, his question is, or their question is, which Pokemon do you think would taste the best?
Have we not answered this question before? I feel like we did. I think we've covered this ground.
Okay. You're saying fart, but you're...
Vanillux, but go on.
Oh, fuck, that would be good.
Wouldn't that be good?
I mean, just ice cream. Yeah.
Vanillux has a straw in its head. Like, go to town, buddy.
Go for it, yeah.
Come get me.
Y'all are forgetting, what about Fresh's friend with a leak?
Farfetch'd is... here's the thing about Farfetch'd. I think Farfetch'd is more like shark fin soup insofar as it's like supposed to be like a status symbol, but is actually just like horrible poaching. But that's my read on it, at least.
Oh, is that like, what's that bird that people eat where they put like the napkin over their head?
Oh, yeah. Orlan or whatever it is. It's horrible.
Yeah. And you like it break the bones?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ugh. I don't want to talk about this anymore.
Me neither.
Okay. So this question
Pretty
is
sure
from...
people eat slowpoke tails. Like...
Oh, yeah. Slowpoke tails.
Canonically, people are like, yeah, it's the best shit ever. And every crab Pokemon that there is some like Pokedex entry that's like, fuck them up. You can make like a crab curry dish in Pokemon Sword and Shield that has like a crabby claw sticking out of it, like no crabby,
and then you get a ghost Pokemon out of it,
and then you get a ghost Pokemon.
This one's from and the last one from 2021 speedrun. If you could have one Pokemon for real living in your house with you, what would it be? This is very important.
This is a stupid question. Sorry, whoever asked it is stupid, but it's Ditto, because that's every Pokemon. Next, please.
Wow.
I guess Ditto would need... Okay, I guess Ditto, technically speaking, would need the Pokemon that they are mimicking.
Yeah, they need a second one.
To be present. But in the anime...
Also,
that's
what
my it, guy.
Yeah. Also,
that's my new guy.
Yeah, this doesn't hold up, because this is like saying that like you could just put Pokemon masks on your kids and be like, oh, I have every Pokemon now, but it's not. It's your kid.
What if you woke up and Ditto had copied your face?
That's awful. Okay.
Oh my God. We had Pokemon Detective Pikachu. The next Pokemon movie I want is You Come Home. And you see your wife in bed with, wait, you? That's right. The Ditto that lives in your house is taking over your life. And he's like, I think that would be a fucking great
talent. Is this just Annihilation? Is Annihilation just a movie about Ditto?
the talented Mr. Ditto.
That's
like taking your
fucking
home.
Great. Just Jennifer Jason Lee, like, what did you say, Jennifer Jason Lee? Oh, shit.
I'm all awesome.
We did it. We did it again. We talked about a whole Pokemon game. What else you guys have played?
I want to have you guys peer into the void that is Russ Frostick's brain and talk briefly about Fortnite Save the World.
Yes, Russ Frostick played the wrong Fortnite.
Remember a couple weeks ago how I talked about how great Fortnite is?
And
I think
Fortnite Save the World, if I could just set up.
No, I'm going to get there.
Save the World is a game that was so eclipsed by its spinoff, they had to add another name to it because people didn't know what you were talking about.
Okay, so I've been playing normal Fortnite that everyone plays, the Battle Royale Fortnite, and I've been really enjoying it. But I remembered many years ago that I purchased the original like Save the World bundle because I don't know, I was covering it or something. And so I had it. And then I heard from someone that within that you can level up your battle pass in normal Fortnite and also earn V-Bucks in that.
What are V-Bucks?
That's like the currency that you buy like skins and stuff in.
You don't play Fortnite, Griff?
No, I don't. I'm
Anyway, like, I basically set up a very complex automated tool that runs for 2 hours and generates V-Bucks and experience for me. And I just touch it once and it just goes. But getting there took a while. So I wouldn't recommend it. But I have not spent money. You are destroying
so much electricity.
Yeah, it's not good. I'm basically crypto mining my way through Fortnite.
By the way, can we have a new segment on this show called, "Hey guys, we got exciting announcement. We're doing NFTs. Oops, never mind." We could do that one. Is just like
every week.
This week, Troy Baker and Team 17 fuck up so bad, and they totally don't have to, but they did it anyway because they like that picture of that monkey, and they go make them $100,000 or something. That's wild, Russ, but I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
Hoops, I want to hear about this game because I've been watching streams of this and it's good.
Why don't you just play it?
I'm like,
it's $3.
I'm waiting. No, it's not. It's not that. It's like, oh, I'm like eating lunch and I'm like, I'm curious what this new thing is that all the kids are loving.
Okay, Vampire Survivors is a roguelike. Similar to, if you can imagine, like a dual stick shooter without the second stick. It's really, the control is just walking around, and what happens is you are
2D top down.
2D top down, thank you. You are attacked by waves of enemies that increase in both number and ferocity, and you get different weapons that are automatically like firing or activating or whatever to help you fend them off. So like at its very basic level, you start out with a whip, and the whip just fires every, I don't know, second or so, and you want to arrange yourself so the whip is going to damage the creatures that are coming for you. And then after that, you might get a Bible that like spins around you and attacks enemies, or you may get a magic wand that targets the nearest enemy for you. And then as you continue to kill monsters and level up, you get like a choice between three different power-ups. So that can be a new ability, or it can be like leveling up one of your current abilities. And the game is really about like making sure that like finding a build that will help you and like work in concert with your other powers. So like you can get garlic that provides this sort of like damaging aura around you. And then a long range thing like a magic wand or whatever. And, you know, those two are then working together. So you can get stuff at a distance or get stuff close to you. Then there's like lots of other abilities. There's different, you can increase your speed, increase your health, increase your shields, whatever. And then when you die on a run, and eventually the screen gets so incredibly dense with enemies that it's really more about like managing a crowd and finding openings in it where you can get a little room to
almost
breathe.
Almost like a shmup.
Yeah, it's like
it feels like a shmup. Where,
shmup for people who might not be familiar with that term. It's like those 2D Japanese often shooters where you're like a little ship. Galaga is like not a shmup, but you can picture it. And the screen is covered in bullets.
Ikaruga is
yeah, the, and the whole point is that these bullets have patterns, and once you learn the patterns, you can actually navigate a like wall of bullets.
They're bullet hell games.
Bullet hell, yeah, and that's how like this looks. And like whenever I watch advanced play, is people just zigzagging through the patterns of enemy waves.
And it feels great, like when you can, you know, get a, you're about to die, and then you find a treasure chest that like suddenly makes you overwhelmingly powerful for a little bit. And just gives you enough room to keep your run going. It feels like great. And the game is about like how long you can last. And there's tons of achievements. You get gold in between runs that lets you power up and like your individual like speed or refresh time on weapons or whatever. And then you can unlock other characters that each feel really different, have a different starting weapon. And it looks very, very retro, I guess. I don't even know it's bits. It's sprites. Sprites doing their thing. But it's great. It's like, I will say this. It is painfully addictive. It is one of those where you'll finish a 10-minute run, be like, I can squeeze out another one real quick. Or like you're about to record the besties and you're like, yeah, I could probably leave my laptop here and just bang out a quick run while I'm talking about Pokemon. I did not, but the temptation is there.
Example.
It's really, really, really good. It's great. It's $3. Seriously, play it. Oh, you have to have a controller, by the way. Don't waste your time trying. I don't even know if you can't play with a keyboard, but don't waste your time.
There's probably a hardcore audience that can only do it with WASD. That's always my experience. If you talk about a computer game, you're like, oh, you got to have a controller. There's people who are like, nah, man, you got to feel the clicks.
You probably could. Now that I think about it, like, it's just it's eight directions. You know what I mean? So, like, it would be a little tricky to nail that, but yeah.
Shit's been a disaster over here, so I have not had much time to play game. But we downloaded Roblox on an iPad because we just needed something, you know, to fill the time. And hey, you guys.
When you say do you mean you as an adult, or do you mean for your child?
Yeah, dude, I downloaded adult Roblox. It's a cool Roblox that's just totally
triple
uncensored.
X.
Totally uncensored.
I mean, they made $6 billion last year, so someone's got to be playing it.
Yeah, and do you want to know how they made $6 billion? Hey, you guys know about Roblox? You guys play Roblox yet?
Yeah, I fuck with Roblox.
You fucked with Roblox? Cool, cool, cool. Russ, Chris, Roblox, no. You guys fuck with it yet?
I haven't.
Oh, sick. Sick, dude. It's based.
I do want to do a Roblox episode
at
some point in the very near future.
I almost don't want to talk about it now so that we can just get like. I almost want a live react video from Russ and Chris turning on Roblox and then trying to do fucking anything. It's basically the same sort of four idle games, but with different, I would say mostly stolen assets, just sort of super glued onto them. And so like this one's SpongeBob Empire Builder, and you wait for your clicker to earn money, and so you can buy this lightsaber, or you can spend $3 of your dad's money to get the lightsaber now, or $5 for this magic carpet, or a 2x boost for $10. And it's like, okay, cool. Come join the SpongeBob pet collector. Maybe you'll get a rare SpongeBob, but if you want this magic carpet, it's $5.
Okay, so why would
times boost
it's,
is $10.
It is so fun. There's one that Charlie plays called Ragdolls, where you basically, like, the whole bit is you climb up a tall structure, and then you ragdoll and fall down, and it looks funny. And then climb this incredibly tall building, and we ragdoll, and it was kind of funny. And then you get to the bottom of the building, and it's like, hey, you want a jetpack? It's $5. It's like you can just fly up there, no big deal. Imagine if every game had that. Like, hey, you want a jetpack? It's $5. Because that's pretty much
Roblox. Pretty much Roblox. That's pretty much it. In this platform.
You can get a grappling hook. It's $3.
Here's a floor is lava, Obby. And let's see who can be the last one. You're going to play against other people. We'll see who can climb this ladder the fastest to get away from the lava. Hey, you want a magic carpet? It's $5 for a magic carpet or 10 for a jetpack. Get your dad. Get your dad to type in a special code to give us the real money to buy the jetpack.
An obby is an obstacle course, by the way. We had to have slang for obstacle course. That's an obby.
There are four decades of video games. Why? Why would you
Why
do
what?
This? Why would you infect
because
the next generation
Because these are the things that
this?
Make money the easiest, and they like warp little kids' brains. Like, little kid's not going to look at it and be like, oh, I know what a clicker idle game is, and it's playing me. I'm not playing it.
But your hand for Charlie, it's been largely like a social thing. Like her and her friends will just like look. It makes it really easy when you first start the game. You see what your friends are doing, and you can just hop in and be like, "Hey, what are you fucking with me here?"
Asking our parents for money.
Yeah, to get the magic carpet. There's a magic carpet,
guys. But if you need any household chores done, Roblox is a good scam to have going.
Let's do a Roblox episode later this year once we're out of the busy season. Very quick, I finished Station 11. It rules. I cried a lot. Don't know if I can recommend it to everybody because it's a real heavy watch during a pandemic, but it's very good. And especially if you're a theater kid, then it's really going to make you cry.
It's going to make me realize how important my art is to the world, finally. And maybe my cousin became a doctor, and my family's still a little miffed about that I didn't follow that path. But damn it, Mom and Dad, don't you get it? It's the art of the thing.
The value of Our Town.
The value of Our Town is more important.
Okay, it's actually about
Lear
and
Hamlet.
School.
Oh, okay, well, whatever.
Yeah. Anyway, I think y'all would really, really love it. As recovering current theater kids, I don't.
Yeah.
Are you both?
I'll scoop back on that one once Fauci finally whips this thing and we don't have to watch a pandemic show in a pandemic.
Fresh, who are we thanking this week?
I wanted to thank the following people for writing reviews.
Oh, these are good names.
We got some good names. We've got Poop One. We've got Sawyer, spelled that way. We've got Vapor Blade Patron, or Patron, probably. It could be Patron.
Patron?
Lux and Run Rabbit Run 1962.
Cool.
Is that a literary reference that they're going for?
I thought it was a Don DeLillo book, but it's not.
It's a Dom DeLillo.
It's a Don. There is a song called Run Rabbit Run. I don't know what but I don't know what the reference is. So
yeah, it's an Updike novel. It's Rabbit Run, but that's 1960. I don't know. Anyway. Great audio. Hey, everybody, here are the games that we talked about this week. Pokemon. That's it. That's what we talked about. We talked about Pokemon. I guess we also talked about Fortnite, Save the World, not to be confused with Fortnite Battle Royale. We talked about Roblox. We talked about Vampire Survivors. We talked about Station 11, which is available right now on HBO Max. And next week, we are talking about Dying Light 2, a game that when code came in, I said, you know what? I think this is going to be something special that we're not really prepared for. And Frushik was like, nuh-uh, you're wrong. And now Frushik is going to eat his words on podcast for a good hour. And I stared at the start menu
screen for a good 90 minutes, not wanting to start this game. But it has gone places for me. So we'll see.
I'm excited. That's it. Justin, take us away.
Okay. That's going to do it for us. Thanks for listening to our show. Be sure to join us again next week for the besties. Because shouldn't the world's best friends pick the world's best games? Besties.
Besties!